So I'm calling an audible today because I see in our bulletins today, the scripture is from Colossians chapter 1, and so I'm changing things up a little bit. As I was writing, God just kind of took me on a different tact, and I even see on the top of my sermon, it is the wrong scripture passage. I'm preaching out of Matthew 6, and I've got Luke 11, which is the same passage, but even I'm confused as to what I'm doing up here this morning. But good morning. You know, 2024. 2024, who would have ever thought we'd make it this far? But we are here together today. You know, last year, our prayer group that meets on Thursday night, as they were praying together, came up with this idea of creating this prayer initiative called Concord Praise. It's an invitation for us as a church to pray collectively together just 2 minutes a day. And it's the idea is their hope, our hope, my hope, is that as we pray together, we're going to be drawn closer together towards the heart and the will of God. You know, that as we are praying together, we will sense God's movement and we will follow where God is leading us. And prayer is simply a conversation that we are invited to participate in. The earliest biblical prayers stem from a conversational intimacy with God and include spontaneous and unfiltered requests. In Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is in the middle of his longest recorded sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and then he gets to the section of scripture where he teaches about prayer. And he begins it by saying, "And when you pray," because prayer is natural, prayer is expected, right? As a son or daughter of God, prayer isn't something only a few do. Prayer is something that we all do. And so when you pray, pray this way. But then Jesus also wants to make sure that our prayers are different from what he calls the hypocrites, people who make a show of praying rather than actually coming before God in prayer. He encourages us to pray in secret and to pray purposefully. And he gave us this model of prayer, and we've already said it this morning. We prayed it this morning, but we'll read it again. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today your daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You know, there are so many different ways that we have to structure our prayers. And some of the fun ways that I've learned over the years use acronyms to help us to stay focused as we pray. And so that we're not, you know, drifting off and babbling before God or thinking about what I need to be doing later in the day. But these acronyms help us to stay focused on prayer. So the model of prayer this morning I'd like to share with you is called PRAY. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. And it's a simple yet powerful way to structure your prayer. And so let's talk through this. So P for praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, praise is simply the natural response to God. It's an offering of ourselves to God because God has drawn near to us. It's recognizing that God is worthy of everything and anything that we can bring to him. You know, sometimes we praise or we focus our praise on what God has done or is doing in our lives. You know, Jesus, I thank you for providing for my family this Christmas season. You know, thank you for coming to be one of us. Jesus, praise you for your life and your sacrifice on my behalf. Sometimes we praise God for his character. You know, Lord, I praise you for your just nature. You do not soften the consequence of sin, but you have provided a way for us to be righteous before you. We praise God as we are going through difficult seasons of life, or we can praise God as we are going through wonderful seasons of life. You know, what we can praise God for is endless. You know, many times as we read Scripture, Scripture will cause us to give praise. I mean, how can you read a passage like Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How can we read that verse and not say, God, thank you for that. Thank you that you didn't wait for me to come to my senses, but you came to me before I even knew there was a God. Thank you for that. Praise begins by opening our eyes and opening our hearts, you know, paying attention to what God is doing all around us, what God has done, what God is doing, what God will continue to do around us. And so we're going to do just that. We're going to take a moment now and practice what we're preaching. We're actually going to take a moment and pray together. And we're going to give God praise. On the screen, there's going to be a couple prompts for you. You know, if you're there and you think, gosh, how do I start this prayer? You know, Lord God, I praise you for. And then fill in your thoughts there. If you're sitting next to somebody and you want to pray with that person, by all means, go right ahead. But let's pause for a moment now. We're actually going to practice this thing that we call prayer. Okay, so let's pray. Amen. You know, praise is a wonderful way to start any prayer that we offer to God. God, thank you. God, I praise you. God, I recognize this attribute of yours. And so the second letter of pray is R, and that stands for repent. You know, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses. The repentance is about turning away from our sin and asking God to help us to live holy lives. And this step is necessary because we can't come before God with a clean heart if we are still clinging to sin. And some of you may be familiar with the ACTS acronym of prayer, and the C stands for confession. And don't get me wrong, confession is good. It's great. But in our world, you know, words have changed, and words really do matter. You know, sometimes when I hear the word confession, I hear someone saying that they have done wrong, and they are simply saying, I've done wrong. I confess I've done something wrong. Like, I confess that I ate too many cookies over the Christmas season. And in my mind, it's easy, and perhaps it's almost too easy for me to simply say, I confess. You don't even have to agree with that you have done wrong to confess. You just simply acknowledge it. Yeah, I ate too many Christmas cookies. But I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm simply saying I did. Repentance, though, is when an individual attains a divinely provided new understanding of their behavior and feels compelled to change that behavior and begin a new relationship with God. Repentance requires us to recognize that what we did was against God. And so we are going to change our behavior. We're not going to ask God to change, but we're going to say, God, change me, change my heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit before you. And so, you know, in the aforementioned analogy of the Christmas cookies, it's, you know, I could repent of my gluttony. I can say, gosh, I ate too many. I knew I shouldn't, and I continued to do it. And it's and decide that it is healthier for me because I am stewarding the body God gave me. Now, eating Christmas cookies is a lighthearted way of looking at that. But when we truly repent, we recognize that what we're doing is the opposite of what God wants for us. You know, Paul writes this in Galatians chapter 5. And when you follow the desires of the sinful nature, of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. But when the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Your repentance literally means a 180 degree turn. I was going this way, but because I recognize that this way is against God, I'm going to go that way. I'm going to go towards the cross. And so we're going to do just that. We're going to take a moment now in the midst of our worship time. There'll be a couple prompts up on the screen for you. And we're going to repent before God. You know, recognize those activities, those thoughts, those actions in our lives that are contrary to God's will, and decide to do life differently. Okay, so let's pray. Amen. And thank you, God, for your forgiveness. And the third letter of pray is the letter A, and it stands for ask. You know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, my first church, there was this belief that you couldn't take everything to God in prayer. It was almost as if, you know, people seemed like God was too busy. And God was simply too busy to be concerned with their concerns. And so they felt awkward taking certain things to God in prayer. And so my response to them back then was this, that if it was important enough to worry about, it's important enough to pray about. And I think there's almost this thought that because God is so holy, God is so set apart that we can't approach him. You know, how can I, a mere mortal, approach this holy, set-apart God? that God is above me. You know, praise God, there's nothing wrong with asking God for help. In fact, he encourages it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 7, he says, cast all of your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. And we just celebrated this Christmas season, right? That the fact that God came out of earth to us, showing us that he is not a distant God, but is willing to come and dwell among us, come and live among us, come to be one of us. You know, what a wonderful blessing we have as sons and daughters of God to go to our Heavenly Father and say, you know, God, this is what I'm really looking for this. God, I'm praying for my friend to be healed. God, I'm praying for my life that you would give me direction. God, I'm praying for my daughter that she chooses a good college and everything works out. You know, how many of us who are parents, when our child comes to us, you know, there's that scripture, would give our, you know, if our son asks for a loaf of bread and we give him a stone or a snake. You know, we desire to give good gifts to our children. And how much more does our Heavenly Father seek to give good gifts to us as well? And so we're going to do just that. We're going to spend some time coming before God and sharing with him our needs. It might be for you. It might be for someone that you care about. It could be a prayer for Israel or Ukraine. You know, but let's come before God and ask. You know, it could be the prayer things that Derek had talked about as we pray for Concord and our future, our unity. So there'll be some prompts up on the screen for you now, and so let us pray together. Amen. Thank you, dear God. So the final part to the pray model of prayer is the why, and it stands for yield. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, we begin by praising God, which is normal, natural. It's just simply a natural outflow of who we are as sons and daughters of God. And then we repent, and repentance is a little bit more difficult because it calls us to recognize that we have done wrong. We have fallen short, and so we have to give that back to God. And then we ask because God invites us. He asks us to give him those things that we care about and worry about. I think perhaps the most difficult part to this prayer model is this word yield. At its heart is the understanding that we are not God. We are not the center of everything. And for some of us, that is really difficult. Yielding requires us to say to God, not my will, but yours be done. And it's a very easy thing for us to say, but it is certainly a very different thing. It's a different phrase when you or your child is going through a difficult season. Because yielding invites us, asks us to let go. So, in my world right now, I am a very frustrated dad, anxious dad. Sophia is applying for colleges. You know, all college students have to fill out a FAFSA form, which is this federal financial aid form. Normally it comes out on October 1st and everything's ducky. And well, the government decided they were going to fix it. And so they said December, and then they said December 31st, because, you know, everybody in Washington is working on December 31st. Needless to say, there's a lot of bumps in the road. And as a dad, I'm anxious. And if I'm being honest, I'm very angry. I'm frustrated. You know, I am so worried about Sophia missing out on something. I want to go on Facebook. I want to rant and rave about my anger. I want to write a lot of strongly worded letters to senators and education secretaries. And I'm very angry at this. I'm very anxious about this. But I need to yield this to God. You know, in my flesh, I want to lash out. But what is that going to accomplish? And so, you know, even as I was writing this, and even as I'm saying this, the Spirit is whispering in my ear, Chris, you've got to let it go. Give it to me. You know, yield your worries, yield your frustrations to me. Now, yielding doesn't mean that we don't do our best. Yielding doesn't mean that we don't continue to go to the doctor, we don't ask good questions, we don't seek help. Yielding doesn't mean we don't try to find reconciliation. You know, yielding is not giving up. But it does mean the surrender of my will to His. And so we need to do just that. I need to do just that. So there'll be some prompts on the screen for you this morning. And so let's go together to God in prayer, yielding our lives, yielding our will to Him. You know, if there are circumstances, situations that grip you, hold you, you can turn those over to God. Let's pray. Why is it that we give praise? Why do we repent? How is it that we ask? And why do we yield? Because Jesus Christ gave us everything. And he invites us to do each one of those things. Now, this is my body, which has been broken for you. Take it and eat. This is my blood, which has been shed for you. Take. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these holy gifts that you have set before us. Lord, in them we see you. We see a perfect and holy and loving God who didn't deserve a body broken or blood being shed, but did that on our behalf so that we might draw near to you. Lord, may we be like this broken bread and this cup. May we be like this for the world, for our families, for our neighborhoods, for our schools, for our businesses. Help us to reflect your body and your shed blood. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the beautifulness, the beauty that exists within communion. Lord, an invitation to participate in your suffering, the invitation to participate in your mission. And Lord, we pray that we would continually be denying ourselves and taking up your cross and following after you. Lord, we pray that we would draw closer to you, we would draw closer to one another in prayer. Lord, help us in this. Thank you for your faithfulness, dear God, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.